This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, the Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I am thrilled to be here at Aviva Trattoria in Malden. And if you want to stop by before 6 o'clock tonight, you will get a free Howie Carr book after you order some food, maybe a drink. You can get a free book with it. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. Joining me now, I'm very excited about this, Anthony Amore, who is running for auditor in Massachusetts, is joining us now. Anthony, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Grace.
Where do we begin? Because people know you for a lot of things. Maybe we should start with your work at the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum. Should we start there?
Sure. I've been at the Gardner Museum for 17 years now, which is amazing to hear myself say. And in that time, I've worked on security and making sure that the art stays where it is, and also working on the investigation to look for the art that was stolen back in March of 1990.
Now, a friend of yours came over to me earlier today, and he said, if you're going to have Anthony on the show, you should ask him about when he encountered real-life Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote that down, and I said, I'm going to have to fact-check this because it seems a little out there. But I asked you before, and you said it is true.
It's true. And it's, you know, it's hard to believe that it's been so long. But at the beginning of my career, when I worked for what used to be called the Immigration and Naturalization Service, I worked with Kevin Jarvis, who's the Veteran Services Officer here in Malden. And he was the senior inspector at the time, and he brought me on to work with him when actual Nazi war criminals would be intercepted coming into the United States. So, you know, you hear Nazi thrown around a lot. These are actual Nazi officers. And to sit across from actual evil, because you could see it in these guys' eyes.
Really?
Oh, yeah. There's, you could see it in them. And I remember Kevin would have them take their shirt off, and you'd look inside their arm, and you'd see a, what looked like a burn, but it was a skin graft to take away the tattoo of their, I think it was their blood type and such, in case they were injured. And you could see that these guys, one guy had his arm cut off on the at the forearm because the resistance caught him after the war. But the way these guys would look at you, you could see, man, this is actual evil that I'm sitting across from. It's life-changing experience.
Now, Anthony, you've had so many experiences. You've had so many different, you know, careers, really. And what makes you want to be the auditor for Massachusetts? How'd you get here?
Well, that's a great question because, you know, when I originally started my career, I thought about breaking it up into five-year increments and doing a whole bunch of different things. But along the way, that plan went by the wayside. But I've always wanted to get into rooting out waste, fraud, and abuse in government. It's what I went to graduate school for, as a matter of fact. I went to what Howie calls Camelot High, Kennedy School of Government. And throughout my career, I've worked, as I mentioned, in investigations and audits and inspections. And the idea of taking this experience and applying it to state government, to look at every state agency and be the chief accountability officer, is a really attractive proposition for me.
So do you think that there'll be enough material as far as finding waste, fraud, and abuse in Massachusetts? I wonder if you're going to have a busy schedule.
It's a target-rich environment. I think that if you bring a strong sense of fairness, but independent investigatory experience, and go deep into each agency, you're going to find instances of waste, fraud, and abuse. And I think what's important for the auditor is insight, oversight, and foresight. So you look into these agencies to find problems and maybe find good things, oversight to make sure that we're monitoring what they do, and foresight to find problems that are emerging so you can kind of nip them in the bud. And if you do this, then you can save the taxpayers not just a lot of money, but you can save taxpayers a lot of grief because their agencies will work better.
I think everyone would like the sound of that. For anyone who's tuning in right now, I'm speaking with Anthony Amore, who's running for auditor in Massachusetts. Now, you just mentioned agencies and how there's a lot of waste, fraud, and abuse in these agencies. And I don't know if you want to call anyone out, because then you might make enemies before you even get the job. But are there any particular areas that you're interested in looking at first if you were to become auditor?
Absolutely. And, you know, the easiest one is to look at the auditor's office. So the auditor has to look at 100% of the 209 state agencies every 3 years. That's the law. The current auditor is only getting to about 70% of them. I want to see why. So we're going to audit the auditor's office first and say, what the heck is going on here? What do we need to fix? How do we get our own house in order before we look at the other agencies? And then number two is look at these 30% that haven't been audited. So audit the unaudited. But number three, in terms of specific other agencies, I really want to get into the UMass system. UMass, if you look at the top 100 employees in terms of pay in the state, it's dominated by UMass employees. If you visit UMass, my daughter goes to UMass Amherst, you'll see building and construction going on constantly. But attendance has been declining every year since 2014. So why are we doing this building? Why is the money continually going to UMass? Why did tuition go up this year? So that's one of the things I really want to look at.
Anthony, just when you look at Massachusetts as a whole, there's a lot of different races going on. There's a race for governor, and there's just multiple things that people are pointing out as issues. What's something really important to you when you look at Massachusetts? What's something you think could be fixed? You just mentioned the audits, but just as someone who lives in Massachusetts, what do you look at and say, this could be improved if we had the right person in the right job?
Well, I think, again, not to be redundant, but I think the auditor's office needs to be improved, because if you don't have an effective watchdog, then who knows what's going on in our state? I mean, yesterday, Governor Swift endorsed my campaign, and she made this really good point. If you knew that there were no such thing as state troopers out measuring your speed on the highways, who would observe the 55 mile an hour rule? Nobody, right? So if you think that you have an ineffective auditor, you're not going to worry about being careful and trustworthy with the taxpayers' money. So really making sure that we professionalize and perfect the work out of the auditor's office is something I'm passionate about. You know, the person I'm running against and her primary opponent often talked about their goals, but they were really legislative goals and ideological goals, and that's not what the auditor does. The auditor is an impartial investigator. It's not someone who says, I want to bring my own ideologies into state government. It's making sure that the law is being followed. And that's what I plan to bring. That's what I'm passionate about, this good government approach.
Anthony, is there any last thing you want to tell people who are listening? This is Anthony Amore. He's running for auditor in Massachusetts. Is there any last little tidbit you'd like to give people before you go?
Yes. First of all, I love your show.
Thank you
for having me on.
That's a very good first thing to start
well,
with.
It's true. You know, I've known you for a long time. But I would ask people to go to my website to read more. It's amore2022.com. I need your help. I need your activism online. I need your votes, and I need you to donate. You know, we can't win without money. And as a Republican candidate, we have a smaller base to raise money from. So any assistance people are willing to provide, I will happily take.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Anthony. He's very talented. Give him a round of applause. Also a very talented author. I'm a big fan of all of his work. Thank you, Anthony. Anthony Amore, running for auditor in Massachusetts. We will be right back with your calls. The number is 844-500-4242. Still a lot to get to. I'm going to talk about anything I've left out here on the table before we bring on our royal expert, Matt McDonald, my editor from The Spectator. He's so mad at me that I keep calling him a royal expert. He said, just because I'm British doesn't mean I'm a royal expert. Stop lying to people. And I said, if you have a British accent, today you are our royal expert. It's just that simple. 844-500-4242. We will be back with more. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. She's got the voice of an angel.
I've been called the songbird of my generation, of people who've heard me.
It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show, everybody. We are here at Aviva Trattoria in Malden. I just had a delicious roasted harvest salad. It was amazing. And if you come here before 6 o'clock, you can get a free book and a delicious, you can buy yourself a delicious meal, and then you get the free book. That's how it works. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. So get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com. Just put in code word GRACE3. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Should Twitter have removed Carnegie Mellon Professor Uju Anya's tweet about the Queen?
No, I don't think so. It was a horrible thing to say, but if you're going to say it and if you believe it, then people should know where you stand and people should be able to see it and understand how the liberal mind works. It's scary. It's unfortunate. I don't think it makes anyone feel good, but she doesn't regret it. She has doubled down since that tweet. She's very proud of it. So no, I think you should leave it up. And I say that about all tweets. I mean, it's pretty amazing though when you really look back. So you can say that you hope the Queen of England has an excruciating and painful death, and that's okay. But Donald Trump's off Twitter because what? He wrote some things about Stormy Daniels because he didn't like Nancy Pelosi. The consistency is the only thing that bothers me. Let's have one standard for everybody. Remember when that used to be the way? Have one standard? Not anymore. So I'm going to say no, Jared. Leave it up.
47% of the audience agrees no. 53% now say yes.
I want to go back to a story that my Reno audience is probably very well-versed in at this point, but it's becoming a national story, as it should be. A Las Vegas reporter was allegedly killed by a disgruntled Democrat official, and I think the most hilarious way that they've described this official is an official who ran as a Democrat. Because what does that say to you? Then you hear that and you go, oh, did he change his mind? No, they just don't want to say a Democrat. So they say an official who ran as a Democrat. It's like this big roundabout way. And you don't hear a lot about that story. And whenever you think of, if you know, I hate to go back here to Donald Trump, but if he would have a standoff with a reporter, do you remember what we'd be told? We'd be told that this is dangerous, that he's intimidating reporters, that his dangerous rhetoric is going to put these reporters, who all got book deals when Trump was president, by the way, going to put them in danger. And now we have a reporter who was stabbed to death, allegedly by a Democrat. And you'll never guess who's to blame. I'm going to give everybody at Aviva Trattoria one guess who's to blame. Can you guess? Donald J. Trump. Actually, one of the reporters had the gall, or I should say had the stupidity, to ask that question. So Donald J. Trump is responsible for when anything happens to a Democrat, but when Rand Paul gets his lungs collapsed, when Steve Scalise gets shot at a congressional baseball game, and when a reporter in Las Vegas gets killed by a Democrat, allegedly, it's still DJT's fault, which begs the question,
everybody's always blaming me for everything.
And you're not hearing any of this outrage that you heard during the Trump years when Trump would say something back to a reporter and they would say, he's sexist, he's racist, he's misogynistic, the democracy is hanging by a thread. And then a journalist gets killed by a Democrat. And what do you hear? Crickets. Allegedly killed. I got to keep saying that so I cover my own behind. But you don't hear anything from these same people who were pounding their chests about the freedom of reporters and the freedom of speech and how everyone needs to be able to say what they believe. Is there an outcry for this reporter? Or is it because a Democrat was the one who allegedly killed him that it doesn't matter, that you're not going to hear anything about it? And Ann Coulter has a good piece on her Substack. I just want to read you a couple lines here because this past week has been horrible for Memphis. You had that terrible story about the young mother who was abducted while jogging and then later killed. And then also you had this career criminal who shot and killed four people this week, who's going from place to place killing people. And Ann Coulter writes, this week, and I'm skipping around here, but she writes, this week the Democrats and their staff in the media gave less attention to the grisly kidnapping and murder of Eliza Fletcher, that's the woman who was jogging, than they did to two black girls allegedly snubbed by a performer in a Muppet costume a couple of months ago. Remember, does anyone remember that? And it happened more than once where Muppets, these people who were in mascot Muppet costumes were labeled as or accused of being racist because they snubbed some children. They didn't give a little girl a high five. And so it was a racist Muppet character. And I said at the time, I've been in one of those suits before. I have. I've stepped into a tiger suit at one point in my life. And let me tell you, you're not in there trying to snub anybody. You're in there trying not to pass out. You're in there trying not to collapse. Because, or as how you would say, claps. Because it's hot. But that was a huge deal in the media. Now this young mother, Eliza Fletcher, may she rest in peace, gets abducted and murdered. And I don't see that same kind of energy we had for the Muppets. Fletcher, a 34-year-old hardware heiress, kindergarten teacher, and married mother of two, was out for an early morning run near the University of Memphis campus on Friday when a 38-year-old career criminal, Cleotha Abston, leapt out of his SUV and dragged her kicking and screaming into the passenger side of the vehicle. His career highlights include a lengthy juvenile record, theft, aggravated assault with a weapon, and rape, as well as the violent kidnapping of a prominent attorney whom he drove around in the trunk of his car for hours looking for an ATM. On Tuesday, police announced they found her body. Big story, right? MSNBC cut away from the press conference on this abduction murder about 4 minutes in. The New York Times put the story on page A20. Given that Memphis has recently elected a Soros-style Democratic district attorney, the kidnapper will probably be back on the street before the hapless Muppet impersonator is employable again. Yeah, let's ruin the Muppet mascot's life. But if someone is a career criminal, they'll be out by 6 o'clock. They'll make it home for dinner. It really is insanity. But aren't you glad Democrats have a zillion crime proposals that will take guns away from the law-abiding? Just think of what might have happened if we introduced guns into the situation. Under Biden's Safer America plan, attempted kidnappings will be fought mano a mano. A delicate 130-pound woman versus a 6-foot, 175-pound man. Yeah, you can definitely trust Democrats on crime, America. You hear a lot right now about what's polling and how inflation is always number one when it comes to what people are voting for, but that the Democrats are gaining a lot of steam because of the overturning of Roe versus Wade. But I would argue that crime is something that the RNC and these Republicans need to hit harder because it's everywhere, and it's especially rampant in Democrat-run cities. And I'm going to say it. The RNC's got to get off their behinds here and start putting these ads together and using some of these millions of dollars they have to drive home that message before it's too late. When we come back, our royal expert, Matt McDonald, joins us. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
And to my darling mama, as you begin your last great journey to join my dear late papa, I want simply to say this. Thank you. Thank you for your love and devotion to our family and to the family of nations you have served so diligently all these years. May flights of angels sing thee to thy rest.
If only everyone's tributes to the Queen could have been that nice. Unfortunately, there's some mean people out there who were spewing vitriol over the past 24 hours. Joining us now, so if you listen to this show, you know that I write for Spectator. You can check out my work at spectatorworld.com. And you've probably heard me say over and over again, my editor at Spectator said, well, one thing my editor at Spectator said, well, finally, my editor, Matt McDonald, is joining us on The Grace Curley Show, and he's joining us as our royal expert. Matt, thank you so much for coming on the program. Oh, we're still waiting for him. The reason I wanted to have Matt on is because he's half Irish, half British. Matt, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks so much for having me, right?
Matt, I first want to get your reaction to some of the hateful tweets that were sent out. A lot of people are arguing that if you look at the monarchy, if you look at the British Empire of the past, that there's no reason to be wishing or to be celebrating the life of Queen Elizabeth. How do you respond to that?
I would say it's a fairly unnuanced opinion, right? It's taking a fairly black and white view of the empire and the monarchy, when ultimately it's probably significantly more complicated than that. I think maybe in part it could be down to, you know, a knee-jerk reaction to some of the more laudatory praise that, you know, Elizabeth's getting. Obviously, when an event this historic happens, certainly in Britain and in the British press, everything changes fairly dramatically in terms of, you know, sporting events being cancelled, flags flown at half mast, regular programming on national television changes, and in the news media and in newspapers, you know, every single newspaper in the UK right now has, you know, 30 plus pages of tributes to the Queen. And I think in anticipation of that, you have people who want to seem edgy and seem different, and therefore present the contrarian opinion that no, actually the Queen equals the British Empire, and the British Empire was bad. And people feel the need to educate others through their Instagram stories or through their viral tweets about that, despite the fact that they themselves have probably just either, you know, scoured Wikipedia to come to that opinion, or they happen to be, you know, if they are do an area of expertise and it is their area of study, then, you know, the language that, you know, even qualified people are choosing to use on social media isn't necessarily reflective of the tone of respect or deference that you would provide to any person who's died, let alone, you know, the monarch of a country who you historically don't like as much.
Yeah, and Matt, something you and I, I'm speaking with Matt McDonald from, he's an editor at Spectator. He also writes for Spectator. If you want to check it out, go to spectatorworld.com. Something you and I were talking about earlier today is the fact that we kind of view these cultural figures or these heads of state, and we view them under this lens of, like, were they perfect or were they flawed? And the truth is everyone is flawed. But it seems like the younger generations especially love to show, like, no compassion, especially online, and give no grace to people who they see as problematic. And Spectator actually has an interview coming out with Bill Maher, and you told me that he touched a lot on this topic.
Yeah, he swears, so I can't quote exactly what he says in the interview, but our cover piece at the moment of our current our September edition is an interview with Bill Maher where he talks, the interviewer raises someone who's been cancelled, and he says something to the effect of, like, I'd like to meet this perfect person who's never done anything wrong. And I think that is the tenor of a lot of, you know, internet debate at the moment regarding any person in any story that happens at any point. And obviously, you know, the person du jour is obviously Queen Elizabeth. With regards to, like, her record and whether she's perfect or not, I feel like a lot of the criticism of her and of the royal family is more centered on inaction rather than anything that she actually did. Like, I'm wondering what exactly it is that most of these critics want? Like, do they want more apologies? Do they want every single royal appearance that the Queen makes in a Commonwealth country to involve, like, a, you know, some kind of sincere expression of regret for the sins of the empire and her very distant forebears? Do they want, reparations for, you know, any wealth that the royal family has achieved? Like, there's less specific, or, like, in many of those cases, you know, that tends to be, like, the cry of criticism. In my experience, obviously, as you mentioned, you know, my family come from Ireland, which obviously is Britain's closest neighbour, and, you know, the former British territory, which therefore geographically has taken a fair bit of flak from Britain. And yet, the Queen, in terms of, like, her relationship and how she dealt with Ireland and, you know, throughout the Troubles and the complicated relationship that's thrown up by the border disputes in Ireland, the Queen as a figurehead, I think, handled a lot of that fairly well. Like, she did, historically go to Croke Park, the scene of a famous, you know, British Army massacre in Dublin, and apologized for it. She did make an effort in, you know, the Northern Irish peace process 25 or however many years ago that was, you know, incredibly tough and required a lot of swallowing of pride and setting aside a lot of charged issues, which, you know, the Queen and the royal family felt that. Prince Philip's uncle, I believe, Lord Mountbatten, was blown up by the IRA. But now you see, you know, since then, you know, the Queen has, you know, for basically my entire lifetime, all of the 90s and, you know, Northeast, and now the Queen has been an unthreatening, diplomatic, apolitical old lady, and therefore her having that influence on that process is you could probably credit as a factor for allowing it to happen. Like, in Ireland, the Queen is not as much of a hate figure as potentially other, you know, other kind of British institutions, as much as, like, the army and you know, in like, when you to tie this back to the debate online and in the US about colonization, I don't see that you, in terms of what the actions of the British Crown and the British government did in the last 100 years, I don't see that you can be more offended than people who have had the most recent experience of the negative consequences of that. And I feel like there's a fairly ill-researched effort on the part of a lot of people to be offended and be loud and say the edgiest and most contrarian thing possible, which ultimately, I think, in order to do that, you do have to kind of show a complete lack of compassion to a woman who's just died and her family.
Yeah, and it's funny that you should say that, because I would never think the internet is where ignorant people go to share the loudest opinion. Matt, something else I wanted to...
It's so shocking.
It really is. It's breaking news. Matt, I did want to ask you, though, and I know that just because you have an accent doesn't mean that you have opinions on all things royal, but just humor me here. There is a new king. I would love to know what your predictions are. Are you a fan? What are, in general, I don't think he's super popular, but do you think that could change?
He's not as, like, the most popular member of the royal family has been the Queen for, you know, the vast majority of time. Like, you saw that one of the reasons why I think British people turned on Meghan Markle somewhat, other than the fact they kind of saw through her as a phony who wanted to deploy royal political power, but with the fact that, you know, she was seen as turning Prince Harry against his grandmother, and it was love for the Queen more than, you know, disdain for Meghan that I think led to her ostracization and ultimate downfall. Prince Charles isn't as, I think, you know, your popular members of the royal family that you've got are the Queen, William, and then, you know, previously Harry, but then obviously the last few years have kind of risked that. A lot of people don't feel that favorably about Prince Charles. There are a number of factors for that. One is obviously his relationship with Diana and the way that wound down, and whether, you know, in the 90s she felt, you know, mistreated or rejected or spurned by him. And I think people, you know, still remember that. The other potentially more pressing issue with Charles is, as I've mentioned, you know, the Queen was a phenomenal diplomat and made a point of, you know, not making many public statements. Her influence was through, you know, not getting involved in the politics of the day. Whereas the fear with Charles is he has been quite vocal and strong, particularly on environmental issues, for a number of decades. And so the fear is, will Charles follow in his mother's footsteps in now stepping back and staying more on the sidelines of political issues and policies, or is he going to jump in and, you know, attempt potentially, you know, disrupt the fragile balance of constitutional monarchy and of the Crown's role as a figurehead that doesn't get involved? So, I mean, it's obviously too early to say. I was halfway through watching his first speech when you called, and it looks like, you know, obviously the first speech, it's mostly an expression of grief and wanting to honour his mother's legacy. If he does that, then I don't foresee many problems, but it's really, it's all up to him, isn't it? So.
Yes, indeed. Matt McDonald, we thank you so much for coming on today. Tell people where they can find you and where they can read all of your stuff.
We actually at The Spectator and The Spectator World, which are our US website, all of our coverage of Queen Elizabeth and the events of the last few days, royal events of the last few days, the paywall is down. It's available to read for anyone if you go to our homepage, which is spectatorworld.com. You can, if you decide to subscribe online and you use the discount code MATT, M-A-T-T, you can get 10% off all subscriptions. We're also going to be appearing on newsstands from next month. You'll be able to pick us up in Barnes & Noble, too.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Matt. I really appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon. The Democrat surveillance state is here, 87,000 new armed. That's right, armed non-law enforcement IRS agents. Why does America need that? The liar said no new taxes on individuals making under $400,000. We paid attention to the $400,000, and then they slipped this in under our noses. They will soon control all aspects of your life with armed agents rummaging through every dime you've spent. Friends, this is no joke. This is for real. You traded thousands of hours of time building your nest egg, and now you have to protect it. You need this now. You want to get Monetary Gold's new guide, 5 money mistakes that could crush your retirement in the next 6 months. Call Monetary Gold now. There is no time to delay. It's 888-617-7994. Get 5 money mistakes that could crush your retirement in the next 6 months. Again, that's 888-617-7994. 888-617-7994. Time is of the essence. When we come back, we're going to talk to Howie Carr. Just a quick reminder, if you stop by Aviva Trattoria in Malden before 6 o'clock, there's free pizza and there's free books, and it's all waiting for you. So just come on by. We'll be right back with the captain. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show, and thank you all so much for joining me today. I'm at Aviva Trattoria in Malden. I'm having a blast, and this is breaking news for you. Do you guys know I decided what I'm going to be for Halloween this year? I'm not going to reveal it. If you've been listening to the show for the past week, you might have an inkling, but I'm not going to reveal it to the day of. But let me just tell you, it's going to be fabulous. That's your only hint. Joining me now for the car crossover, which is brought to you by Toyota of Portsmouth. You'll love their personalized service when you buy or lease a vehicle and after. Use their convenient service drive-through and get genuine Toyota parts that keep your Toyota a Toyota. Schedule your service online at toyotaofportsmouth.com. Howard Lawrence Carr joins us now. Thanks for coming on, sir.
My pleasure. I've been out on the sidewalk looking for Ed Markey. Has anyone seen Ed Markey?
That is a fruitless endeavor.
In the last 40, 50 years? That's a good
punchline here in Malden, his hometown.
Howie, tell us what you have planned for this show today.
We've got a spelling bee with Joe Biden.
Oh, very nice.
And, you know, we've got many things. Police blotter, Facts Friday. I think we're going to talk about the guest list at the funeral. Well, we're not going to talk about the funeral so much, but John Kerry has jetted in.
Oh, isn't that swell?
And you know, King Charles III, who is deeply, deeply committed to global warming, I saw him getting off the plane today at an RAF air base in London. And I guess he was the first guy off. It must have been a commercial airliner, right? Because, you know, he's all into green energy, just like John Kerry. He's very worried about the existential threat to the planet.
Well, Joe Biden and John Kerry and all these good liberals must be torn, because on one hand, they want to use their private jets and go over and say goodbye to the Queen. But on the other hand, the far-left blue check marks are on Twitter disparaging the Queen, not hours, but minutes after she dies.
Yeah. I always thought that Carnegie Mellon was a pretty good school. I no longer think that.
Yeah, you didn't think that today you'd be agreeing with Jeff Bezos on something, but stranger things have happened, right?
These billionaires, I don't know what's happening to them. First it was Elon Musk, and now it appears to be Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, I actually I heard from a source that Jeff Bezos donates to Carnegie Mellon, but I got to double check that. But that could be a little problem for that school. Do you think, and this was my poll question today, do you think the tweet should be removed?
I'm for free speech across the board, pretty
Amen.
Much.
Amen. Amen.
I'd leave it. It's killing her, you know? I mean, it's making everybody see what she is, so why suppress it?
Absolutely. Howie, I am so excited for your show. I know you have a lot planned. I know that we have police blotter facts.
Look at this Biden cut sheet here, folks.
He's got a long list of cuts to go through. And I didn't even really think of the fact that you're right. I mean, a lot of Prince Harry, Meghan, it all ties into this renewable energy situation, because a lot of people think that King Charles could have a problem if he starts to go down that road with people. Usually the monarchy tries to stay above the fray.
Do you know what how bleak the outlook is for the UK with the energy situation this winter and the entire Western Europe, the European Union? I got some stories from the Wall Street Journal. I mean, they're looking at like a major, major recession. And they're going to have to, and to prop up these businesses, they're going to need to print more money in the EU. And guess what that means? It'll mean the same thing it means in the U.S. It'll mean more inflation. And that'll mean more businesses going under. And it's like you remember the late 70s? It's kind of it's called stagflation. And it's just downhill. And that's what they want, because, you know, they don't care. John Kerry's private jet, it's private for him. But it's not private for who pays for it. It's everybody in here.
Yes.
It's everybody in the country is paying for his private jet.
The statistics and the miles that he's flown is pretty incredible. I mean, he's basically traveled around the world 7 times.
He better enjoy it, because I think Republicans are going to take over Congress. And then the subpoenas are going to start flying.
Well, you think they'll go after the climate envoy?
I think it's going to be a race between Representative Chip Roy of Texas and Senator Dan Sullivan of Alaska.
Howie Carr is coming up next. Thank you to everyone who came to Aviva Trattoria in Malden. You still have time to get here before 6 o'clock. I'll be back Monday with my show. Rest in peace to the Queen.